These Three Remain, stories of faith, hope and love from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. I'm Rick Hill, the host of this podcast that aims to bring you conversations with a variety of people from across our church, reflecting on our life and witness at this time. Make sure you subscribe to receive future episodes and please do keep sharing this with others. Now, on this episode, we're turning our eyes towards the summer and thinking about what possibilities the next couple of months might bring us in our congregations. Like so many other things at this time, I guess normal plans have gone out the window, and so we want to take time to think about how we might be able to grasp fresh opportunities this summer, perhaps for action or maybe even reflection too. So today I'm joined by the Reverend Stephen Richmond, dialing in from Donegal, as well as Rachel Haffey and Mark Hawthorne. Folks, you're really welcome. And Stephen, maybe just start with you, get you to introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself and the congregation that you're a part of.
Well, hello everyone. Stephen Richmond, based in Donegal Town and Stranoler congregations. Been here in Donegal for about 18 years, and it's been one of the nicer places probably to spend lockdown. I've been able to enjoy the coastline, and the whole area has been much more pleasant than some of the big cities. Married to Janice, she's a nurse in Letterkenny Hospital, and two things sort of I'm looking forward to in the next few weeks are we're celebrating 25 years married, and also celebrating Liverpool winning the Premier League for the first time in a long time. Might even happen both on the same day. So yeah.
Well, I'll congratulate you on the first thing rather than the second thing there. But you've come through a little bit of the initial effects and stages of lockdown in Donegal and maybe even in the south. How would you describe the current picture to be in Donegal, Stephen?
Donegal Town, where we are here, is sort of usually a very busy wee town, holiday town, always lots of foreign tourists about. It's just been so dead over the past few months. Everybody has been very good here and sort of stayed at home, and haven't been too badly hit with COVID, but obviously it's affected everybody's life greatly. A lot more shops are open, and lots more people are able to sort of meet outdoors and et cetera, the time scale even for churches opening has been brought forward to sort of the beginning of July. So feeling's much more positive. I think everyone's just glad that life is beginning to return a little bit to more normal kind of things.
Yeah, and certainly those of us in the north will be hopefully learning and watching from your experiences in the south, as you maybe are slightly ahead of us in terms of time scale. Rachel, why don't you introduce yourself to us, tell us about the congregation you're part of and the role that you have there.
Yes, certainly, Rick. My name is Rachel Haffey, and I am the youth and children's worker in both Mays and Ballanderry Presbyterian churches. So I am part-time. This role, I believe, God very much led me to. That's sort of what you would say is a major change in my life. I got married and moved from the townland of Crossgar and moved to Marilyn. So these congregations were very much in that local area, and God led me there to be their youth and children's worker. So I've been in my role now just for over 18 months.
And you've another role as well, Rachel. Tell us a wee bit about that.
Yeah, certainly, Rick. So I'm part-time, as I say, with Mays and Ballanderry Presbyterian Churches. The other half of my week is spent working for a ministry called Precept Ministries. We are a Bible study ministry that uses simple skills to help people read and understand God's word for themselves, with a mission of really engaging people in a relationship with God through knowing his word. And so this has been a remarkable journey that God has brought me on through Precept, as well as he has used me and has used this really personally in my own life as I've got to know him better through his word, but also just in giving me opportunity with youth and children to teach them skills of Bible study that can really help them just grow closer to God through his word. And so this has been a great opportunity even that I've been able to now use in Mays and Ballanderry.
Mark, tell us a wee bit about yourself and introduce yourself to us.
I'm Mark Hawthorne. I'm originally from Londonderry, but I've lived in Waringstown for just over 9 years. A member and elder in Waringstown Presbyterian Church. And I've just finished my, I suppose, first academic year of ministry training. We're supposed to be on placement right now, but our summer placement, but obviously that's not happening because of all that is going on. So we've finished that kind of academic part. And now, instead of our placement, we've just got a few little bits and bobs to be doing over the summer.
So obviously even, you know, your year has changed in terms of the end of first year. Tell us a bit more about that or how that's been.
Yeah, we missed a couple of weeks of teaching. It wasn't too bad. Online resources went up, and then I suppose the biggest difference was we had to do a few assignments without access to the library. And then we had a couple of exams to do, which we had to just do online. But it was okay. I think everyone managed it. It was just a bit different, you know, and a different experience. And I think everybody is missing the summer placement, but Union are working really hard to try and figure out how we can still experience life in two different churches. So I'm not sure the full details yet, but hopefully going forward, we'll still be able to have a smaller summer placement at some stage in a church, as well as our bigger placement in the church that we'll be doing our assistantship in.
Okay. In this episode of the East Reed Remain podcast, we want to focus on what opportunities we might want to grasp hold of during the summer. Can you tell us maybe some of your perspectives for this? Maybe Rachel, you can go first and tell us what this looks like for you.
Obviously, from a youth and children's perspective, it's been a huge transition for both our children and young people over these past 14 weeks, as we have lost completely that face-to-face contact. And I have missed that, and other leaders have missed that, never mind our children and our young people. And so I guess right at the start, it was trying to think about how can we engage and how can we keep connected and how can we keep showing our children and our young people that really, really do love and care for them. And so it was something that I started to do, was started to contact parents and really use the parents as the avenue to get to our children, encouraging them to do faith at home, especially in this difficult time. Them being the primary discipler maker of their child, even more so during this lockdown period, to encourage those little conversations every day, just to talk about God and just involve him in all that they were doing at home. And so this past 14 weeks, my role very much has contained sort of sending out resources through videos, whether it be for parents and toddlers, and getting our young people set up in small groups and with leaders and children's addresses, and just providing worksheets and family worksheets that can be done relating to our service each week. And so as we reached the summer and plans that were already in place to have our regular summer ministry, our holiday Bible club, as that was all sort of turned completely around, then we needed to begin to think of how we could reach out in a different way and almost do what we were doing, but in a very different context. And so we are in the midst at the minute of an online holiday Bible club. This has obviously taken a very different form to what it usually does. And as I began to think this through and think about the practicalities of this and the purpose of doing it, I suppose for me, I really wanted our children to see that we really did love and care for them, that we wanted to provide something for them. We wanted to encourage them in their faith and just give them opportunity to learn from God's word, but also for them to really feel involved in something. Obviously, this is something that would be a highlight in their summer. It's a highlight in my summer usually, and I was really looking forward to it, but it's sort of doing it in a different way now and involving them, allowing them to feel part of something bigger, even though we're very much apart, that all together we can still learn from God's word together. And so we decided that instead of a week-long holiday Bible club whereby we would be usually used to, we've actually decided to spread that out over the month of June. And so we kicked it off on the 31st, sort of on a Sunday morning, where we had a live session with the children where they could see each other, they could chat with one another. We had our usual components of a Bible club story and quiz and memory verse. And this just gave them an opportunity to interact with one another and for me to just tell them what this month was going to look like for them, how they could be involved, and just get them excited for what was to come. And so our theme for our online Bible club has been Down on the Farm. And it really, it happens every Friday night. It kicks off at 7 o'clock, and we put that out through our YouTube channel and Facebook pages, and also through just the weekly email that I send out with parents each week. And so really, it looks like a usual club. It's got all the similar compartments that it would have, all be in a different way. We have stories, Bible lessons, quizzes, memory verse, but really, again, trying to engage with them and try to give them opportunity to take part. And so we've had challenges and activities that they've been able to do each week, video themselves, send them back to me, their quiz questions, as I do it during the club, then they write down their answers and they get their parents to send me back to me as well. I also provide a worksheet each week that they can send back, and running this sort of little competition throughout it that encourages them to gain points for their team. They're all put into separate teams as they sign up, and get involved. And then I just keep in touch with them about what's going on. But what's been really encouraging is at the bottom of these worksheets, there's a little question box where they can come back and respond to how they're feeling, how they're enjoying the club, and if they've got any questions or anything they'd like further explained. So it's been lovely just to hear their wee responses and seeing how they've been engaging and just learning from God's word as we've gone down on the farm to hear Christ's message through the animals. So just in a fun and interactive way for them, really just to get into God's word.
Brilliant. That's lovely to hear kind of the interaction and responses taking place there as well. Mark, you've maybe been thinking about a similar thing within Waringstown. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Firstly, thanks to Rachel, I've written down quite a few ideas there, which was great. Yeah, because I'm not out in placement, it's given me the chance to actually think a bit more about helping out in church and the kind of big things that we would have going on in the summer, which is usually Shine, which is kind of our Holy Bible Club, and then Glow, which is a community outreach type thing. What do they look like now going forward in this slightly different world? And I think we're trying our best to plan for online, and if something changes, happy days. But I think it's a lot easier to plan to be online and then get to do something physical than to think, okay, we're actually going to be physical and at the last minute then change it so it's all online. So at the minute, I suppose some of the things have been easier to figure out and some have been a bit more difficult. So usually in Shine, we would have had P1 all the way up to year 10. We've had that for the past few years. And we don't think we can put something out online that hits all of them at the same time, you know. So we're hoping to do things for primary school kids on the week that Holy Bible Club was penciled in for in the morning time. So we'll be sending out YouTube videos. We're hoping, because we had things, the dates in for the start of, end of July, start of August, we've got a bit more time to, I suppose, figure things out. So we're hoping that if families can register a few weeks beforehand, that we'll be able to send out packs for them of craft material, worksheets, all those different things. And in the middle of the YouTube video, they'll pause, they'll go into a Zoom room where there'll be volunteers there to chat with them about the story, answer questions, do the craft together, all those different things that you'd normally do in a smaller group at a Holy Bible Club. Then they'll go back and watch the last little bit of the YouTube video. I suppose it's a bit more difficult with some of the older ones. Shine Plus, which is what we would have called the year 8 to year 10, they would have had lots of trips after the Bible Club finished in the morning, that kind of thing. And obviously, we just can't do those. So again, we're trying to take those principles and think, how can we do them online? So actually, what does it look like online for them to get to just spend quality time with each other, to get to know their leaders better, to have a little bit of discipleship and thought about how they can journey on in their faith throughout that week. And that's a bit more difficult, as Connor has said, our youth work, you know, actually some of the young people are a bit tired of being online, which you never thought you would ever say about young people, like, you know, but I think especially with school stuff, a lot of, you know, it feels like a chore to be online. So we're hoping to be able to do things, even like send out little packs of supper, just to say, you really intentionally, look, we want you to be there, you know, and we're going to make an effort to try and encourage you to be there. We're going to try and keep it light, nothing too heavy. You know, the same kind of vibe that if you were off spending the day together doing something, just really getting to know each other. And I suppose there's casual relational discipleship going on as that happens. We're also hoping to do something in the afternoon for kids with special educational needs. Just because, again, we think that that's an area that maybe could really, really use a resource, something to get engaged with over the summertime. So hopefully that's in the pipeline too. The more difficult thing is the community engagement. You know, what does that look like? Would usually be in people's houses, people's gardens, doing jobs for them, helping out, all that kind of stuff. But I think the same principle is the same, you know. What are the needs of our community and how can we meet those needs? In gospel ways, you know, in godly ways. And I think that's going to take a bit more time. It's going to be we're going to have to wait and see, you know, what does the legislation look like in a month's time? What do the needs of our community look like in a month's time? And then our hope and our prayer is that, you know, somehow as a group of volunteers, the body of volunteers, we'll be able to respond to that, to respond to the needs that they have.
Yeah, so in some ways you're kind of thinking, actually, this needs a little bit shorter preparation time, actually, and responding a little bit more in the moment. Stephen, tell us about what this looks like for you in Donegal and how you're trying to think about the summer.
Yeah, summer here in Donegal is usually busy. We have special services in Ross Nyla that usually get a lot of visitors come along to. We have Holiday Bible Club that we normally do. Normally, church in general is just busier with visitors. We have a couple of outreach ideas that we'd sort of plan to look at this summer. We do church barbecues. And the reality is all or certainly most of these things we're not going to be able to actually do. And I think one of the things we struggle with in church is working out when we can't actually do stuff. But to me, this is actually an opportunity. One of the things that will be happening, hopefully at the beginning of July, is that we'll be able to start meeting again on a Sunday morning. Okay. And so we're going to have to spend a good bit of time actually thinking about how we do church, not just physically, distance, et cetera, but I think it's an opportunity to actually look at what the fundamental purpose of being together is all about. And one of the things the summer we use for is rest and refreshment. I think this summer, one of the big things we all need to be really thinking about is the whole idea of reflection. What have we been learning so that we can sort of listen to God and put new things into action, new programs, new ideas, new ways of doing stuff. I think church is very often just full of activity and programs. People are busy with life, busy then with church, busy with so much. And to me, we actually have a real window of opportunity at the minute to actually just to stop and to really wrestle with God and wrestle with one another about what is it we're actually, all this activity is designed to do and achieve and what's it really all about.
Yeah, so in some ways, some of us in this conversation are thinking about how we can be doing the things we've always done as church, but actually, as well, there's an opportunity, you're saying, to think about not doing the things that you've always done. Practically, what does that look like for you, do you sense?
This morning was a really exciting morning. I met my clerk session down in the church. It's the first time we've sort of set eyes on each other for a few months. And we were there just sort of to look at the building and work out what exactly we'd have to do and how it would work if we can meet together. And then we started to talk about actually, well, what do we do when we meet? Do we just have the same type of service we had before, or do we actually try and do something a bit different? And one of the phrases he used, he talked about it's just like we're like a new church with a blank slate. And to me, that was a great place to be, actually, because it gives us an opportunity. If you look at the New Testament church, there was no programs, there was no youth work or Sunday school or any of those things that we associate with church, and yet church flourished. And not for 1 minute saying that Sunday school, youth work, et cetera, is bad. It certainly isn't. But if it's not possible for us to do these things, does that mean we're just finished? Or actually, are there ways that we can do these things that are so good and could actually, we could learn really important lessons going forward?
Yeah, there's something there about not just reacting to thinking practically about how we start everything again, but actually taking time to reflect on who we're meant to be as the church and maybe even what we're meant to do as well. Mark, I'm just wondering if you have any reflections on that.
You know, I suppose we've got a mixed bag in Waringstown at the minute of trying to think about how we can do things we've done before in a different way, but also think through really seriously what Stephen's been talking about there, you know, and actually giving people time to reflect and respond to what's been happening, to think it through biblically, is really important. And there's actually a great wee resource that's just been launched by PCI there called Unprecedented. It's really simple. There's three little sections. There's a listening to your heart, a question to, you know, help you think through what's going on. Then there's something from God's word, listening from God's word. And then there's thinking about how you're going to live that out in your life. And our minister, Stuart, has taken those and made little digital devotions from them. It's himself and his wife, Caroline, who go through them together, talk a little bit about it, and then you can pause the video and think about the questions. And Laura, my wife, and myself have been doing it together. And really refreshing, you know. It's something different. It's something new. It's not something that had been done before. But it gives us a chance in an evening, instead of saying, right, let's put Netflix on, we'll say, okay, let's put that on, let's watch it together. And in the midst of three kids running around all day, trying to do all that kind of stuff, it's been great to have a little resource like that that helps us to carve out space to consider all of those things that, Stephen's been talking about there. You know, what does this mean for us right now? How can we anchor ourselves in God's word throughout this? And actually, what does it look like to move forward, you know, and live lives in a world that's a little bit different, but trying to do it in a really God-honoring way?
One of the things that Rachel mentioned earlier there was sort of connecting with parents. So not directly working with children, but connecting more with the parents and talking to them much more about faith at home. To me, that is such a biblical pattern. Actually, the role of parents in Christian education is huge. And that to me is such a lesson and an opportunity that one of the things that we could learn going forward, maybe that's a skill and an opportunity that we could seize and that we could all learn from, that actually less focus on just running all these programs all the time, and actually the support of parents become much more of a focus for home life.
Yeah, absolutely, Stephen. Just on what you said there, for me, I think it's been a real encouragement. Obviously, as a youth worker, parents come and they leave their children off maybe at the door of our Pathfinders on a Friday night and pick them up again. And yes, you have that interaction with them. But this opportunity of lockdown in some ways has given me that sense of how I can actually connect one-to-one more with parents, even though we're so far apart. And it's over an email or it's through a WhatsApp or a phone call. But through those opportunities, it's just been so encouraging how parents have come back and just been able to share stories with me of how their children are really reacting, how they are enjoying the time that they're spending with their children, whether it be on a Sunday morning or afternoon with the worksheets that are being sent out, or even just the videos that have been going out midweek for parents and toddlers, even from the youngest of ages. And it's just been lovely. Funny, we had one parent who shared with us, and it was such a good news story. We praise God so much for it, about how she had opportunity just to lead her young daughter to the Lord just a few weeks ago. And so that was just such an encouragement, just to see how God is really using our parents at this time to really speak into the lives of their children and just talk about God just in everyday life, as they go through their homeschooling, as they go through their days in lockdown together. And for me to engage with the parents has been a real privilege, just to serve alongside them as we seek to just nurture their young families and their precious children in the Lord.
Summer is usually, most churches sort of shut down quite a bit and then they have a bit of a rest and then they get ramped up again for September and away the church year goes again. And I think how I'm looking at the summer at the minute is we have an opportunity to actually reconnect with people physically for the first time, and to actually think about how we do that reconnection and how we do it better than we've done it in the past is a crucial thing. And I think the summer will be the time where churches need to think about that for the September, because you know, if we get to September and suddenly we're expecting things just to sort of take off, we'll miss out on that time to actually think through and plan through. And so I think a lot of churches should actually be doing a lot of thinking and praying over the summer about what it is we're actually trying to do, and what it is, not just what we can do, but what it is we're actually trying to do and really want to do.
It's really helpful. I'm wondering what advice each of you might give to other congregations. There's a variety of people who might be listening today, so maybe ministers or elders, youth workers, children's leaders. As they listen, what advice might you give them for how they might be able to explore some of these themes or ideas for themselves? So whether it's running an online club or thinking about the needs of the community, or you know, pushing into rest and refreshment. Rachel, why don't you kick us off on that?
Yeah, certainly. Well, I suppose a whole day Bible club is a highlight in my calendar each year, never mind the children. And I was so looking forward to it, as plans had already begun for that. And so, as I say, when things locked down and we realised that it was no longer able to happen, it was just about what can we provide for our children? What is the purpose of us doing it? And for me, in some ways, it was really just to do something that the children could be a part of and that they could be involved in. And so I guess if a whole day Bible club is something that your church does regularly each year, or maybe hasn't done, maybe this could be an opportunity for you to use this time over the summer, whenever maybe homeschooling will stop and there'll be more opportunity for children to be available to do things. I know we've done ours through June because that's just the time when we always did it. And we have our whole day Bible club service locked in for the end of June, and we're sticking with that and continuing with that. But if you, I suppose, are thinking about it, I would encourage you to go for it. I have to say, when I first of all sat behind a camera 14 weeks ago for the first time to do my first talk for parents and toddlers, it was pretty daunting. And since then, me and YouTube have done these weeks together as I've learned how to edit videos and use iMovies. But I suppose I would just encourage you to try and do what you can to engage and involve your young people in something. I suppose that for me, getting the videos back as we're in the throes of this Holy Bible Club at the minute, has been what's been most encouraging, just to see their response and see their wee faces as they get involved with videos, as they see their wee videos come on screen and they see their friends and what they're doing. But at the bottom of the worksheets that I send out each week now in relation to Holy Bible Club, there's a little part where they can respond with how they feel about the club, how they're enjoying it, and any questions that they have or any ways that God is working in their lives. And it's been lovely just to get that interaction back and being able to answer their questions and kind of have this wee relationship with them through this Holy Bible Club online, even though we're miles apart. And so that's been a real encouragement for me, and I know families have really benefited from that. So I would really encourage you, even if you can't do online videos, even just to provide something over the summer that the children can respond to and actually can come back to you, so that you can answer their questions and just make them feel that they are part of something bigger at this time, even though we can't be together in church physically.
Yeah, that's helpful. Mark?
I think we need to be in churches wise and realistic about what we can and what we can't do. And a lot of that will be down to, you know, the people that God has placed in your church and the gifts and the talents that they have. And I mean, we're very blessed in Warrenstown that we do have got a guy in church who owns his own audiovisual company. So that there's certain things that we can do and that maybe other churches couldn't do. And there's other churches who can do things that we in Warrenstown wouldn't be equipped to do. So I think, you know, to look around to see the people that God has placed in your church family and to figure out, okay, what can we be about this summer with the people that God has given us? And actually, as we reflect on that, I think it's a great opportunity to be the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. You know, the richness of being part of this denomination is that we're not alone. We've got loads of other churches throughout this island who will be creating content and doing things, sending things out, whether it's Holy Bible Clubs or Reflections or whatever it might be. And actually signpost people, you know, to those things. If there's something that you as a church can't do, then, you know, signpost your children and young people or other people in your congregation to those things. You know, if there's a church that can't do a Holy Bible Club, then let them know that, like, that's happening on YouTube for me is this week, or let them know that it's happening for Warrenstown in a couple of months and they can get registered. And I think that's really, really important for us to point churches to other churches, maybe who are doing things that they can't. And the last thing I would say is just, I think as I've reflected on what we've been doing in Warrenstown, ultimately the teaching is the one thing that has taken the forefront. You know, lots of the other things have fallen away and it's been the teaching that's been focused on. And actually, I think that that's been a really good exercise for us. A bit like Rachel, we have had children who have came to faith in their home through what's been going out and through talking with their parents and opening up God's word with their family. And that's really exciting, you know, but I think ultimately it's a reflection on the fact that God's word has came front and center in what we've been doing. And actually whatever it is that people end up doing in the summer, let's make sure that continues, you know.
Stephen?
Yeah, I think for me, one of the things I'd be saying at the minute is let's seize opportunities that we have. You know, people are sort of reconnecting. So let's try and encourage people to reconnect with intent, you know, that you actually talk about your faith, talk about Christ and, you know, talk about what God's been doing in the last few months. We're getting used to sort of meeting in smaller groups. And again, to me, that's such a helpful model for church, and that we actually get used to sharing faith in smaller groups and almost mentoring seems to be one of the models that we could look at very closely at the minute as being possible and actually been incredibly beneficial. So I think there's the atmosphere and the whole circumstances at the minute actually give opportunities for us. They shut down some things that we can't do, but they open up lots of other things that we could do.
Finally, to finish, we've been asking each contributor to share something from Scripture that has especially spoken to them in these days. Rachel, why don't you go first?
A verse that God brought to me quite early on at the beginning of this lockdown was Isaiah 41 and verse 10, where it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And this is a verse that God has used many times in my life just to encourage me. But that command to fear not, and that promise that he helps us and he upholds us, that God is with me. And I just have been continuing to remind myself of these promises, that it's not about me and it's not about what I can do, but it's knowing that God is my strength and he is the one that's enabling me to carry out exactly what he wants me to do. And so it's just been so encouraging to see that on God's strength and by his power, what we have been doing as a church, God has been using in ways that we can't even think or ask or imagine. And as we leave it with him, he is the one very much carrying his word to places that we could never take it. And finally, just another verse that on the back of that God, that I was reading again just a few weeks ago there, "The Lord is my shepherd," Psalm 23. It's a psalm we're so familiar with. But those words in verse 1, "I shall not want," really struck a chord with me. Just that God has used this particular verse to encourage me as his child, that he is my shepherd and I lack nothing, that he provides for us. He leads us in the paths of righteousness and he guides us, and we can forever rest in his presence. And so just those encouragement promises that at this time when it is unknown, when it's been difficult, when it's been very strange to what we're used to and familiar with, that God is very much in control and continuing to help and strengthen and use us in ways that are way beyond our imagination.
Mark?
Just a couple of verses from Psalm 27. I was in some kind of Zoom meeting and was flicking through the Psalms, and these just really stood out to me. So verses 13 and 14 of Psalm 27 say, "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." And I think it's just great reminders for us as followers of Jesus, you know, that we can believe that this is a land where God is taking dead people and through Jesus making them live. You know, this is a land that we can believe that God is still being good in, even in these strange and different circumstances. And I think that call in verse 14 to wait, you know, there's been lots of waiting over the past few months, and there still is. We're waiting to be able to hug our family and our friends. We're waiting to be able to join together as church. And lots of that waiting has been frustrating, but actually there's an excitement as well to waiting and seeing the full picture of what God has been up to in these days. And I think that's tremendously exciting, because there's no doubt, you know, there's no doubt if you've been listening to the stories that have been coming out in the podcasts, listening just to any churches sharing what's been going on, God has been at work probably in ways that we don't even see and understand yet. And I think it's exciting that we get to wait and see what God has been up to in these days.
Stephen, we'll give you the last word.
Yeah, for me, it's just four words from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, picture of the church, where Paul writes, "We are God's field." So this idea that, you know, we're a field that God is cultivating, you know, and that whole big picture of bearing fruit and growing into what he wants us to be involves, you know, putting down roots and pruning, et cetera, all those kind of things. But I think at the minute, to actually just be focused on that, this is where my head and heart have been over the last few weeks, that actually to just be open to God to do his work and to build his kingdom and his spirit and his life in us. One of my favorite writers, N.T. Wright, asked this question: "Is what I'm doing encouraging and enabling people to worship the true and living God in holiness and truth?" And it's a question, you know, I'm asking for myself and wanting my churches to ask as well. You know, is what we're doing actually encouraging this field to flourish and bear fruit? And what do we need to maybe prune or shape or water that we could do that better?
Thanks. And it's been lovely to hear of what Mays and Warringstown will be up to in the Holiday Bible Club space, but also thanks to you, Stephen, for bringing that kind of theme of rest and renewal and pruning and stripping back to us today as well. So thanks to each of this week's contributors for what they have shared, and we hope that it has helped you to consider how you might be able to make the most of the opportunities ahead of you this summer. We are entering a summer rhythm for the podcast, which will see episodes released on a fortnightly basis rather than weekly, but we will be back soon to bring you another conversation. In the meantime, please do send us any of your own stories of faith, hope and love, particularly summer focused ones, and you can do that via the email address on the show notes. We'll get back to sharing them in the next episode. So thanks for listening to These Three Remain, stories of faith, hope and love from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. See you next time.